This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
WGXC welcomes audio responses and feedback from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-622-2598. And leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. That number again is 518-622-2598. WGXC underwriting is provided in part by the Olana Partnership, presenting Third Thursday, a day of tours and programs topped off by tunes with a view. Visitors can experience global sounds while taking in the views of the Hudson Valley. This month, featuring Mariachi Satali on Thursday, June 17th from 12 to 7 p.m. All are welcome. Details at olana.org/thirdthursdays.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Johnny of New York, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You, too, can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Good evening, my friends, family, and community at large. Thank you for joining. I am Kimberly Irwin, your host of Race Talks on WGXC 90.7 FM, a wayfarm.org enterprise, where every third Tuesday of the month from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, yes, we have listeners from all over, we have the very necessary conversation on race and ethnicity. And why people continue to ask me, we do this because we want to combat racism, and to do so, education is key and discussion a must. So now let's start talking here where
No taboo.
Well, that was my guest talkers, and you know whose voice, Garrett Roche. The theme this July is Soul and Sense, music that heals and puts pennies in, I like saying your purse, but you know, some men don't have purses, so we'll say pockets. We mostly all have pockets. So a quick
recording
overview.
In progress.
We're playing this one song right now because it is about one of the topics we're talking about, Afrobeats, and recognizing French American Heritage Month.
Yeah, we're talking about
vient de West Side, moi de South Side. C'est ma wife, c'est mon associé. On a surmonté les obstacles. On veut de la grosse maille. Et si je prale, je la ferai croquer. Baby, no tripping. Maison comme Quincy. Mommy, no slipping. Yeah. Et plus aucune season. Brillons comme Queen B. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 6'4. Yeah. Chilling in my 6'4. Oh, ensemble, on est trop fort. Yeah. Donc imitons les efforts, ils sont déjà morts, oh, il m'a 6'4. Yeah, chilling, il m'a 6'4. Oh, ensemble on est trop fort. Yeah, donc imitons les efforts, ils sont déjà morts, les mains en l'air. 6'4, chilling, il m'a 6'4. Yeah, oh, ensemble on est trop fort. Yeah, donc imitons les.
Okay, that was Take. T-A-Y-C, I think I'm getting that right, but I'll be better with the French part. Fleur Froide, Le Fragment. And that is an Afro-French artist with cultural roots to American hip-hop, R&B, and soul. And of course, with us focusing on soul, with the healing part of soul and hip hop. We're looking at how to have finances in our pockets with hip hop. I thought this would be a great intro for us. Also, what's good for us to have heard from him is because did you know that this month is French American Heritage Month? Who knew? I certainly didn't, so I thought I'd bring that to your attention. And also, we're recognizing BIPOC and Disability Mental Health Awareness this month. And in so doing, I want to just say we're going to talk a little bit about this one French American woman during our roundtable who actually was more American at one point and then she became French. But we'll get to that later. We have some words of wisdom to display how our music, particularly soul and hip hop, can heal the spirit, inspire positive economic outcomes, whereby learning the lyrics. And we have some talk terms. What is soul music? Well, we have a soul music guru here, so we'll see if he lets us know and maybe share a few tunes with us, at least the names, so we can go and create our own soul satisfying playlist. We also have, like I said, Garrett Roche. Today, he's our unofficial Race Talks DJ, and I'm calling him DJ Rock Solid for today. All right.
Woo-wee.
Yeah. Okay. So
endless thanks, Kim.
I mentioned our first guest talker. We're going to have him in here quickly because he's going to help us with the talk term for this segment. Samuel Wilson Jr. is here in the house. He's born in Harlem and raised in the Bronx. Samuel Wilson Jr. is a lifelong lover of black music and the host of the Black Soul Music Experience podcast. He's also a former CBS employee turned WBOX radio DJ. Sam brings decades of firsthand experience with the records, voices, and community stories that shape soul and R&B. He's also worked at a few stations, WFUV and WHCR, to name just two, and now he shares his classic tracks and cultural commentary across all major streaming platforms. So if there is a streaming platform you prefer, you can definitely download Samuel Wilson Jr. I'm going to call him Sam, if you don't mind. Sam, please share.
I don't mind.
Great. Say hello to our audience that are listening today and let them know why you are here on Race Talks.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Sam Wilson Jr. and I'm the host of the Black Soul Music Experience podcast. Now, the reason why I'm here is Kimberly Gerwin, who wanted to interview me and wanted to know more about our black music. And it's the music podcast where I interview singers and musicians from genres of black music, whether they are from gospel or jazz or blues or classic soul or old school hip hop or today's hip hop and R&B, Caribbean, Latin, Afrobeat, Afro-Latina, blue-eyed soul, disco, go-go, line dances, and the lost classics. That is the format of my podcast where I interview singers and musicians. Not only singers and musicians, but I've also interviewed singers and musicians
recording
who are also
stopped.
Music teachers, and also interviewed singers who are also
recording in progress,
doing other things as people who does movie and TV themes. You never know that your favorite TV show could be a top 10 hit on Billboard's Hot 100 Pop Singles charts, or songs that can be used in commercials and other things that I got a chance to interview a real radio DJ personality so far. And I've interviewed two Afrobeat singers from Nigeria. And for the first time, I got a chance to interview them. Even though I've interviewed them on a Saturday, I recorded episodes on the Saturday afternoon at 12 noon, 6 p.m. Nigeria time. Although it was a risk taker, but it was a challenge. And I'm interviewing a diversity of all musicians who love soul music. It's the feeling, it is the inspiration that moves you, that inspires you, that gets your feet tapping, gets you on the dance floor. So it's not only that, but it has songs that are dealing with a social message that reached out to the whole brothers and sisters and the whole entire family, where they're talking about songs from today's headlines, or if it's songs that moves you and inspires you, whether it's in the church or in the jazz clubs, or when you hear some of the DJs mixing and scratching and everything in between. So that is the purpose of my podcast, where I interview lots of singers and musicians, and also I interview some of those who work behind the scenes that we don't know about. So I've got a chance to do different topics, everyone from blacks and country music, and also singers who does other things. So that's the purpose of my podcast. And for those who want to check out my podcast, they can tune into season 4 all this summer before we get to season number 5, where I bring back returning guests, new topics, and you never know what I'm going to have on my show next.
Well, Sam, thank you for that. I do know, just by listening to you, I'm grooving just to the sound of your voice. You have that voice.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
So
thank
perfect.
You so much.
So, yeah, well, soul is, and again, the topic is also about healing. Of course, you can dance through your sorrows. You can tap your toes, click your fingers. There's so many things. It's like people don't grieve the same way. People don't really groove to the soul the same way. I'm going to ask you now to just take all of it in, because you mentioned almost every form, every genre of music there is that creates and makes up soul. But what is soul music? If you can give me 1, 2, 3 words, a sentence, what is soul music, if not in general, for you?
To me, soul music is universal. Soul music that brings love, joy, unity, and peace to all together. Soul music can uplift somebody, whether it's playing the blues. Everyone has the blues a lot. Where soul music can make you feel happy and joyous at all times. And soul music can bring you something with a social message that we all need to hear and listen.
Well, I know when you're talking about soul music in general, I'm thinking about how I came into soul music. And I came into soul music by way of my mother. And my mother was huge on Berry Gordy's Motown sound. So when I think of soul music, I think of my mother's favorite Jackie Wilson, Sam Cooke, and everybody's favorite Nat King Cole, right? And even his daughter followed in her footsteps. Let me ask you a quick question. R&B and soul, you mentioned it. Can people say these are similar or the same sense? Or what is the difference, if there's a difference, in your opinion?
Well, the difference is like the decades that are changing. So in the 60s, you mentioned Motown. During the 60s, we had Motown and Stax. Motown was the happy music. It was known as the sound of young America. It was known for its happy beat with a popish appeal. When we think of Stax records coming out of Memphis, Tennessee, it's that raw grit, and it gives you a soulful, bluesy, and gospel feeling. And when Philadelphia International came along in the late 60s, it brought us music with a message. You can still dance to it, and you can just do your soul train line on it.
Oh yeah.
Their slogan was, there's a message in our music, there is a message in our song. So get your information from the sounds of communication. That got into the 70s, where it got a little funky,
mm-hmm.
when when we had funk music in there, when disco came in. I was into the disco era when you had Donna Summer and Gloria Gaynor and Vicky Sue Robinson. And then Caribbean music came on the scene when you have artists like Bob Marley and Peter Tosh and the Mighty Sparrow and Marcia Griffiths. When you think of Latin music, you think of Afro-Cuban and Afro-Latina like Carlos Santana or Mango Santa Maria and Tito Puente. And when you think of the new sounds of the 80s when hip-hop came in, I always think about Caribbean music because when you hear the artist singing, then you flip over to side B, you just hear the instrumental version. Mm-hmm. And then when you think of those who started rapping, and that's when it brought it to America. And that's when hip-hop came on the scene. So then we got into the 80s. You got into those fashion. You got those. I was around when British Walkers came around. Those British Walker shoes and those sheepskin boots. And you got those rope-a-dope chains. And you got those crystallized names.
Yes.
That they can personalize your belts. I'm like, where does this come from? That was around during the 80s. Well, when we got into the 90s, dance was picking up again, picking up where disco left off, but with a different twist. So was music changing? Yes, it was. But, you know, it's not the same as it was when they all say it's not the same as it was back in the 60s and 70s when everybody come together and feel happy. But when we got into the 2000s, and you have, yeah, there were some songs that may not have the same feeling or don't have that same soul music in the 60s and 70s and R&B flavor back in the 80s and 90s. So when Michael Jackson came along, when the MTV generation and VH1 and BET generation, that broke the glass. Now, we didn't have cable back then, but you can still watch the music videos like Friday Night Videos on NBC or ABC Rocks and New York Hot Tracks on ABC 7 New York. And yeah, there was some video shows and syndication. We still had American Bandstand and Soul Train and the Midnight Special, even though they're all gone, but we still have NBC Saturday Night Live, where you have all of the musicians. Not only they can sing, but they can do their comedic act as guest hosts. So it's still around. And also, especially country music, I wasn't into country music. I thought it was like for the, you know who, the platform for Heartland and everything for the Republican Party. But when I recently came back from the International African American Museum in Charleston, then I saw the banjo.
Oh, yeah.
I said, oh, the banjo. When I think about the banjo, I was watching Hee Haw. Everybody, those country musicians were playing the banjo. But then when I saw something on YouTube about how did blacks invented country music, it's some of the things that we didn't know about or
Sam,
they don't want to talk about it. Yes.
That ding means it's time for our next segment, which is a intro to something that I'm going to say you took us through. You took us through soul music all the way up to today's date in such a the best way possible. I mean, by giving us names and the feelings of dances and whether we were listening to it on the radio or seeing it on the TV, on the tube, there's so many ways we can honor and have the value of soul music. But there's only one, what am I going to say, soul guy. Who is that? James Brown. James Brown, the godfather of soul. We're going to go into our next segment with that because you said soul music has themes. They have, you know, they teach us things. And what we're going to find out with our next guest is how it teaches us about money. So we're playing James Brown, I've Got Money, to lead us into our next segment. Can you stay around for the round table, Sam?
Yes, I will.
Awesome. Okay, here we've got James Brown, the Godfather of Soul. Our next guest is Jordan Streets Lovell. Did I say that correctly, Miss Jordan Streets?
Lovell.
Lovell. Okay. I just love seeing it. L-O-V-E-L-L. Now, am I calling you Jordan or am I calling you Streets?
Whichever slides out easier for you.
I love all your names. Jordan Streets Lovell. Okay, I'll say it again. Jordan Streets Lovell is a behavioral finance analyst, author, and founder of Streets Teaches Money LLC. Her platform bridges hip-hop and financial education, helping Black and Brown communities build wealth through cultural connection. Miss Lovell's book, How to Build Wealth in 5 Weeks by Listening to Hip-Hop, teaches readers to decode financial principles from lyrics. Jordan is also a proud mom, uptown native, and advocate for economic justice. Thank you for this book that you actually gave me during an event we were both at. And
yes,
even on camera, I was like, yay!
Yeah.
I was so happy. I just looked through it and I knew it was gold right then and there. I want you to say hello to our listeners and share a little bit about why you thought, yeah, I'm going to come on and talk on Race Talks. And I'm going to let you know, I want some of those lyrics that, you know, is in your book. So reading one or two would be awesome, ideal for me. So please. Introduce yourself to our listeners.
Oh, peace, everybody. My name is Jordan Streets Lovell, and I am the author of Streets Teaches Money, How to Build Wealth in 5 Weeks by Listening to Hip Hop. Also, my second book actually just came out, Scared Woo! Money Don't Make Money, Money Management Risk versus Reward. More so I'm talking about the first one, just because I think that it's important for us to understand the financial terms. I've worked in different Fortune 100 companies and also working in nonprofit and Office of Mental Health and Supportive Housing and Shelter. It just gave me basically the information, right, and the exposure to see that, like, it's not that we don't, and I say we as Black, right, Black and Brown community, it's not that we don't have money. I believe it's just that we don't know how to manage our money, and I believe that we're not mindful of our relationship with money. So we all have a relationship with money, and we may not understand how we got it, but if we look and think of our money story, and I think of that, like, in regards to your parents, how your parents treated money, how your grandparents treated money, how you may teach your children how to treat money. These are the things that I believe are the importance. I've been in Monday meetings, 9 white men, myself, only Black female, and we're not even in the conversation. We're not in... we're not thought of at all. So I find myself being like an infiltrator, basically. I'm coming in and going in there and snatching the information and bringing it back to the block. And how I do that is by utilizing hip hop lyrics to basically say what they're saying, but using their collegiate words and making it seem as if it's so much different. So like, for instance, which I can appreciate you, Kimberly, because you did read my book and you did go through it and you know how I feel about you. So I don't have enough time to tell you that, but yeah.
Oh, sure we do. No, I'm just joking.
Thank you. Thank you for everything. And thank you for the time that you took. But so my book goes through just a couple of weeks, couple of tasks that I give, some introductory financial terms. And when I'm talking about the terms, I utilize financial lyrics. So like for investments, Jay-Z and GZ, Seen It All. I don't really want to get too much into that, but if you guys know the song itself, he's basically talking about making a drug deal, right? A drug sale, right? Mm-hmm. And he talks about flipping his money. So the thing with me is I just feel that there was a time when Kanye said that he went to go visit a jail, and he said that all he was meeting was people like Dr. Dre that made a mistake, or a Pharrell that made a mistake, or these people that made mistakes. Because at the end of the day, if you go to like the block, right, and you go to see these young men and women that may be hustling, at the end of the day, they can run businesses. Mm-hmm. Like, they are running businesses. Yes. They're doing advertising, right? They're doing marketing. They have the product. I just think it's the wrong product. But if they'd had the right environment, or they'd had the right support system, or they had more people around to tell them that these are the things that they can do, more representation. I see that's the issue as well. And translation and things. That's the disconnect between our families, our community, yes, and the financial institutions and financial services.
So, well, I think you're totally right about that. In fact, a lot of young men who I grew up with, I shouldn't say a lot, a handful of young men that I grew up with, some of them ended up incarcerated because of drug deals gone bad. And many of them, they knew how to streamline their money flow. They knew when it was coming in. They knew how much product. I mean, and they were uncannily
mathematicians. Yeah. You have to know math. Yeah. You have to know your weight. Say, you have to know a lot of things to be able to do this. School. Exactly. Yeah.
And then this is why. And they were utilizing the skills that they definitely learned in school. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Or even utilizing, like for me, as Samuel was stating, we're both uptown natives. So I was born and raised uptown. I was in the South Bronx in the late Bronx. 80s, early 90s. And South then, Bronx. Yeah, right. You know what's so crazy that you say that, right? And it's ironic because my husband's from Queensbridge. So that's a whole nother thing, right? Like if anybody, right. So yeah, that's the joke, right? So I grew up uptown, in Manhattan. I went to school in Manhattan. My family is from the East Side. My family is from uptown. And, for us, like, you know, music is just an experience, a black experience. Anything that you're doing, you're thinking of music, you're, you know, it's New York City. That's just where hip hop is. That's where we thrive. Right. Because I'm of a certain generation, with hip hop turning 50 last year, and I remember these times and doing this, I've seen a lot of them, the Nas's, the Jay-Z's and all of that, from the beginning to the end. And honestly, if you were listening to them, you would been paid attention to that. They've told you what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. You just got to listen to the lyrics. As he says, like, are you listening to it, or are you just skimming through it, right? Through Renegade and Eminem, right? So you have to pay attention, because they told you everything that they were doing. They told you where they started, and you see where they ended. So it's a matter of translation, right? Utilizing the certain words that I think that if it was in a rap song, right, and if it wasn't this, we'd be a little bit more alert. And not to say that my generation, I can't say, is not, because I know a lot of mine that I, you know, went to HBCU, went to Hampton. I have a lot of friends that are graduates. I have a lot of friends that go give back to the community because they understand what that is about. But then I also have a lot of friends that sometimes may have not made it, or some of them are like still incarcerated and they're living certain lives. And then there's a bridge. I find myself being like that, the bridge in between. I do have my master's in financial services and all that other stuff, but I am very much so frontline in the block and not scared to be where I'm at and meet people where they're at. And I believe that that's important. And that's why we're not getting the information, because nobody is coming to the block with the information. So with my book, that's what I wanted to do.
And that's key. And your goal is so fabulous because you need to have the cultural competency to be in those spaces.
Yes, cultural competency. Exactly. Right. And I think with the Fortune 100 companies that I did and the trainings, and they were wonderful. I think that the products were great. Honestly, it wasn't the products. It was just the sale pitch wasn't for us.
Right.
And so
it's the marketing.
The marketing wasn't for us. So for me, when I'm doing my financial advising.
But McDonald's figured out how to do it. Why can't the financial institutions?
No, because it's not really for us. It's not aimed for us. So we just have to be more mindful of the translation and just be open-minded to things that that we may not know, but we actually do. We just have to go through it. Right?
I'm so glad you said that. Well, following your lead with, quoting lyrics and or musicians, I thought I was being told that we were going to go to our next segment, but one second. words of wisdom from Nas. Visualize wealth and put yourself in the picture. I love that. You have to see it to be it, right? And
yes,
that's why when we thought if you didn't see brown and black people, I don't really like saying brown because I'm always like, who's the brown person? But people of color.
People of color.
People with a little bit shade to their body. If you didn't, ethnically speaking, if you didn't see a person doing something, then you most likely wouldn't be doing that. And going back to the neighborhood, the communities where certain things were being shown and being then put up as a value,
right?
That young kids could get a little bit of. And so,
I mean, because if you go to the projects, they have the money. The kids are running around with $800 coats. Their mothers are working. Everybody is doing their part. It's just, again, about money management and our relationship with money. Unfortunately, when we show up, we have to show up suited and booted. We don't have the luxury to not be able to show up that way. So we teach our children that. Right. And we make sure to put our best foot forward. And then we utilize our money and it kind of make it look rich opposed to when the others, right, they get to be taught to be wealthy and they don't have to be taught to in regards to presentation. That's why they run around with dirty white uptowns all day. But that's a whole nother conversation.
The millionaire next door is the person who literally didn't go to college because they didn't go into that debt. They started working, and then those people have businesses usually work their way up. I know one person, she worked her way up through fast food and ended up owning one of the fast food restaurants. So, so I love that. We could probably, you know what, you're just going to have to come back so we can have that conversation because, again, no topic is taboo here.
Right.
We just don't have enough to go into that as much as we would like because we do have some music to play. We each have a song that both Sam and Streets, I'm going to call you all different names today. They're going to be like, I thought it was Jordan. Now she's saying Streets.
Listen, my mother even called me Streets, so it's not a big deal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now I'm getting comfortable. I think I want to call you Streets. We're going to play one of Sam's songs as we go into now our fourth segment, because you're going to stay a little bit round for our round table, right?
Yes.
I mean, and Jordan just shaking her head. They can't hear you, Jordan. They can't. They can't
I'll
see
be here.
You.
Yes,
hear you shaking your head.
Okay,
so let's go into our next segment by playing Sam's song that he mentioned. Sam, you want to tell the listeners what that song is, who the author is, and anything? I mean, who the singer is, and anything else you'd like to say about that song? Barbara.
Well, the singer is Barbara Mason, and she comes out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And the name of the song is called Child of Tomorrow, and that's from the movie Gordon's War from 1973 that had the late Paul Winfield in the movie. And they had a soundtrack album, which I forgot to mention. And back in the 70s, you had those black movies that had those soundtrack LPs. So once you get a chance to listen to that song from Ms. Barbara Mason, and that movie was dealing with drug addiction. So when Gordon come home from Vietnam, he realized that his younger sister was onto drugs. So drugs were coming into the streets, into the neighborhood.
And it was, what's the title again?
Child of Tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So that is deep, because that's kind of what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Child of Tomorrow. We're queuing it up right now. I'm just hoping, because we could actually play these songs and not have to pay for it, but we usually get them off YouTube. So I'm just hoping that we don't have to hear a commercial first. Okay. So Barbara Mason's Child of Tomorrow. Was Barbara Mason's from the Best of the Buddha Years. So you know that album too, right, Sam?
Yes, I do. And I have that CD of all of her greatest hits.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm going to show my ignorance. I don't think I know that song. And that must be one of her more popular songs, right?
That was one of the popular songs that when the film came out in 1973, and like I said earlier, during the early 70s, when we had the blaxploitation movies, mm-hmm. they had those soundtrack LPs. It's like saying, you got the soundtrack LP, go see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, this was the perfect, you know, timing for that one. And we as black people, we always get a chance to see some of those black movies, everything from Chef and Coffee and Foxy Brown, Trouble Man, Sounder, you know, those movies, they had those soundtrack LPs. So back then, it was our time. So like I said earlier, we got the soundtrack album, go see the movie.
Mm-hmm. And talking about movies and going to see people, I said when I mentioned DYK, Do You Know, about July being French American Heritage Month, that there was now they call her an Afro-French artist, Josephine mm-hmm. Baker.
Oh, she's one of my favorites.
Well, good, because this is a roundtable segment, so you don't have to wait for me to ask a question. You could just jump in. definitely. Tell me why she's one of your favorites then.
Well, when I was younger, I watched, I think it was Lynn Whitfield. She played Josephine Baker in a movie. And I remember just, it was like really hard for it. First of all, it was really, I think it's still hard now, but extremely hard then, to where you had to dance, sing, do all these things. And then on top of that, deal with how your own country was handling you. So when she went to France, I remember her just having this, finding this love and newfound like blackness, right? Like black experience of herself and finding herself. And then later on in life, didn't she like adopt a lot of children and do like a rainbow coalition and things like that?
Absolutely.
Like, so she was like big on humanitarian things. And I just feel like her as the person, her her personal experiences, not only was very intertwined with her professional life. And I think it created who she was, right? And it created her legacy. And like for me, I respect her as a, not only as an entertainer, because it's not that she was just this one thing. She was all the things. She had to be all the things. And then also just a great human being as well. So. Well,
exactly. And I'll share a little bit, and I'm reading it, so
it's not like, well, that's off the top of my head.
So I'm saying, you know, I'm kowtowing to you because you did a great job, but I'm just supporting some of the things that you've said. But and then like let people know I'm reading, you know, being that she was a dancer and a singer, and she was iconic for the time, the Roaring Twenties. And of course, being in New York City, you both, you know how important Harlem and the Harlem Renaissance era is. But she was more than just that. She fought for civil rights in the United States. She took part, actually, in the March on Washington. She actually wore, proudly, a French forces uniform during that time because she had already moved to France, but she loved her peoples back in America that she returned to be in that parade, march. Also, she was so beloved by the French. She actually became a French citizen, and that's why they call her Afro-French. Mm-hmm. But they put her in the Pantheon, and that's this place that, you know, you don't enter unless you are a French person. And she was the first black woman to enter the Pantheon on November 30th, 2021. So it's like, wow, for not just a black person, a black woman, but a person who has done more than, you know, sing and dance. She was definitely someone who stood up for the rights of people in America. She also stood up for the rights of people in France because she was, during the World War II, part of the French resistance. This woman to me, she almost reminds me of the black, not civil rights. Well, I guess it's civil rights, but she came out of slavery, being an enslaved person who brought so many enslaved people to freedom, Harriet Tubman. So because she also did more than just help black people, she helped our country. Right. So she was part, and they actually ended up paying her pittance. But a nurse's salary, or I should say a black nurse's salary. But anyway, you mentioned that she was a mother, and they call her the mother in chief of a rainbow tribe because just like you said, she had so many children from different ethnic backgrounds.
Yeah.
So well loved. Anything you want to say about Miss Josephine Baker, Sam?
Well, I'm going to agree what Jordan have said earlier. I, too, got a chance to check out the movie on HBO. It starred Lynn Whitfield, who was a dancer and a singer and an actress and, yes, civil rights activist. And when she had moved to France, she had, like, a better life. And dealing with racism in America, and we're still fighting with the situation today. And many people like Josephine Baker have moved to France. I know more about how that she adopted, you know, lots of children and everything. And when I was at the Museum of Television and Radio, now called the Paley Museum, I got a chance to see Josephine Baker, the real Josephine Baker. And she was on The Tonight Show. And they had that episode back in 1974, just a year before she passed away in 1975. So I got a chance to see the real Josephine Baker as she was in real life. I think she was wearing like some stove or something like that, just to see a real Josephine Baker in person. Got a chance to see her, you know, on the couch, you know, talking with Johnny Carson, dealing with everything that she had to face with, you know, dealing with music, and how to deal with racism, how to unite people together, not just in France, but all around the world. Yeah. So I got a chance to see the real Josephine Baker on television. And like Jordan said, you know, she had to go through all those situations here in America, you being loved overseas.
There was a Harlem Renaissance exhibit last year at the Met, and they had like a contribution for Josephine Baker there, which was really, really nice. I actually was there with my mother, so, and it was around springtime. They went through the whole Harlem Renaissance and through the whole everything, and it's just, I don't know if they're going to probably bring that back, but I know that they have now this year. They did the Met for the gala. They did the Black Experience for the gala for the fashion, uh-huh. Right? Are you familiar?
Of course.
With the exhibit?
Well, okay. I mean, I've never yeah. been.
Well, no. They have this year. They have an exhibit for Black fashion that they did a whole thing. I think ASAP Rocky, who is from Harlem, helped with creating. Like the he was the creative director of the Met Gala this year, and it was like for like a Dapper Dan kind of like a type of theme, and I think it was like. Again, the Black experience is dope. However you package it, wherever you package it, I think, you know.
Okay, yeah, well, and we have two amazing guests to showcase exactly what makes it so wonderful. I mean, the information you're providing us is timely. Now, I played one of Sam's favorite songs, so I now need to play, well, not favorite, but something he mentioned that I thought wasn't great to share with the listeners. And you too, Miss Lavelle, see, I call you everything. you mentioned Nipsey Hussle. Do you remember that title you gave us?
I think I gave you two titles, but which one were you going to play? Were
Is
you going to play
Grinding All My Life?
Yeah, it's Grinding on My
okay,
Life.
Okay, so
yes.
Can you give us a little bit background and why you...
Okay, so Nipsey Hussle, he is not only just a rap artist, but he's like an entrepreneur. He's like a actually an economic, a financial literacy advocate as well in the Black community. He's deceased now, but if you look at his... background, his brother and them and his family, they're very big on ownership and things like that. This particular song, I used to play it if like when I wake up 5 a.m. and I'm doing my like my jump ropes or like or like I need to find like some type of motivation or something, because like that's the story of our lives, is grinding all our life. So
okay, well, I'm going to get DJ Rock Solid here to get it started.
Go ahead, DJ Rock Solid.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hey. Hustle back the dice. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle back the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life I've been grinding all my life. Look, I'm married to this gang, that's who I made my wife. Said I'd die alone, I told that she probably right. One thing that's for sure, not a stranger to this life. Got a safe that's full of Franklins and a shoulder full of stripes. Don't know a like myself. I say self-made, meaning I design myself. County jail fades, you can pull my file yourself. Spot rage, swallow rocks, I'm getting high myself. Nah, damn right I like the life I built. I'm from West Side 60, I might got killed. Standing so tall, they think I might got stilts. Legendary baller like Mike, like Wilt. 96 Impala, thug life on wheels. Up against the wall, squabble at Fox Hills. Like a boss, ask me how I feel. Successful street, touching them first meals. Whoa. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Wanna slice,
Got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life.
All my life, I've been grinding all my life. I was dancing from the first beat. So what does that mean, those words that they're grinding all my life?
Is working hard and like and his yeah, hustling. And you know, his whole thing was it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And our lives are like that. Like, unfortunately, it's, I would say for me, right, especially as a personal financial consultant, behavioral financial analyst, I have to go and tell everybody what degrees I have, what experience I have, what this I have, what that I have, because I'm a Black woman. So to make sure that they think that I'm credible, they can trust me or believe that I know what I'm talking about, I got to grind harder, which I don't mind.
I do.
Because I was, I mean, you know what? I don't. You know why? Because then it makes me more confident and it makes me
know that
I know what I'm talking about. And I know what it is that I'm trying to do. So, I love education and it's fine. So if I got to learn more things and do more things just to prove and show that I'm right and to make sure that my community doesn't miss out on the things that somebody else may have these things and they feel like somebody that doesn't is not worthy of. And that's what I'm supposed to do.
Well, you know, as you say that, I feel a little bit, I'm going to take that back because I'm watching something that's reminding me of Jesus. And they were like, what would Jesus do? Right. Jesus would do what the lyrics here say. It says, all my life, been grinding all my life, sacrificed, hustle, paid the price. Sounds like Jesus to me. I mean, my goodness, like if it's kind of like you said translation, right? It's kind of like this. If it comes easy, it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. And so, you're not going to feel like people got to feel it.
Yes.
And that's what I mean in regards to behavior and in regards to our relationship to money. You think about it, money makes you feel what? Happy, or money, would not having money make you sad, or having this or something, like, you know, so you got to think about those things, and your feelings, your mental health, right? Mm-hmm. And where you're at when you're handling those relationships, because it does affect it. And I feel like both of those conversations are kind of foreign to our communities, which is unfortunate.
Well, we're coming up. I mean, in my experience, we have more people in my community now who actually are starting investment firms and things like that. So we're hustling,
right?
And hopefully the price is paid to us.
Yes, that's right.
I'm gonna have to end it on that note, but I just want to recognize that there are so many things we could have talked about. Afro beats what's the difference between Afrobeat and Afrobeat? So many things I could ask Sam. Sam, we don't have that much time. We have about a minute to go for each of you to share a minute of reflection or what you would like the audience listeners to know. I want them to know that all of your contact information is available on the WGXC website and my website, so they can get in touch with you. What would you like to say? Let's have Jordan go first.
Well, I would like to make sure that I thank you both for your time and your presence, right? Because everybody's time is valuable, so I appreciate your time. I'd like to thank everybody's time that they took to listen, and those that may spin back for the archiving. And what I want everybody to know is that it's never too late to learn something new. Don't ever think that you can't, like, right now, this economic war, we need to be paying attention to investing, stocks, cryptocurrency, even the beginning of it. Like, even if you got money to buy cigarettes, a bottle, weed, something like that, you got money to invest. If you are able to buy your kids Jordans and do all this other stuff, you have money to invest and put into your future. Just redirect, be mindful of your behaviors and your money. Take some time to sit with yourself before you go do anything in regards to financial decisions. And just know that we have it. So, like, support it. Try to see if you could spend your money, your dollar, your black dollar around a couple times like the other ones do before we throw it out to somebody else's community.
Cool. And like I said, if you're interested in anything that Streets has written, you can go to Amazon and yes. It's available. All the information is available on the websites for this show and on WGXC.org. / listen if you're listening to this via the radio. I mean online. If you're listening to it online. And Sam, another minute for you. What would you like to leave with the listeners?
I want to say thank you all for tuning in and checking out my podcast. You know, I'm here to interview independent singers, whether they are on the major record labels or not on the major record labels. We all have seen that corporate media, corporate records have gone crazy. Every record company has become shady. So now I've seen many artists on their own, independent, creative control. They can collaborate on who they can collaborate with without the record CEO dictating to them what they can't do. Whether you can't collaborate with that artist or they can't sing that song. You know, the old saying, they don't want to sing that song, but at the other hand, they became number one and the rest was history. So we all have to support artists, creative control, artistic freedom. And that's what I'm seeing right now. They're on their own. Those who want to check out new podcasts, you've got a chance to see some of the independent artists that I've interviewed. They give us a breath of fresh air, artistic freedom, artistic control. And what you're going to see or hear on season number 5, we're going to continue platform to interview some more singers and more in the future.
Well, thank you for that. I'm definitely going to be listening because you've taught me so much just now. I don't usually like to listen to my episodes. I'm going to listen to this one because you've dropped a lot of great information. Now, Right Acts, I'm closing with. I'm not going to even tell you what to do because they just told you what to do. Those are the right acts you should do. Let music be more than background noise. Let it be the blueprint for the future you're trying to build, whether it's financially or whether it's just emotionally staying connected with community. I'm going to have our DJ Rock Solid, a.k.a. Garrett Roche of the Roche Solid Truth podcast, take us out. And I'm just going to end with my hopefully traditional saying, love, beauty, joy. Love, beauty, joy.
Yes, and Kimberly, these were two of your finest guests ever. And thank you so much to both. And a special shout out to Ms. Lavelle. As a grandson of my grandmother, who was born on 139th Street and Brook Avenue in the South Bronx in 1920, we could talk. Here we go.
Let's Stay Together by L. Green.
We are all going to stay together more than ever.
It's all right.